Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 478. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free. We have real wonderful, powerful Bible reading, the very thing that the Lord told me to read or to have read today. And also we have some commentaries and letters and music. And so, right now, though, let's go before the Lord to ask Him to anoint me and open your hearts to receive whatever the anointing of the Lord on me gives you, and to anoint all the others that are going to be reading and also on this program, and also our engineer, so that gets everything just right so far as the music is concerned. Father, anoint me, anoint everyone on this program, and open the hearts of everyone in Radio Land, the saved and the lost, so that the saved can receive more power and more of your word to dispense unto others, for it is this reason that you have called us to be saved, filled with the Spirit, and dispense you into others to bring about the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. Your word states that the Father is the husbandman, you are the vine, and we are the branches. If we don't bring forth fruit unto repentance, if we don't preach the gospel by the Spirit, so that souls can be saved, because if we're preaching by the letter, no one will be saved. But if we preach by you, if we let you preach through us, and then we are able to, you are able to draw all people unto you. Lord, you know I've won a lot of souls in my life, but I cannot claim that I won them. It was your Spirit using me as an instrument to do it. And I just praise and thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you do all these things to save the lost, strengthen the church in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Here is myself, Tony Alamo, and J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet, to sing and for you, The Great Speckled Bird. And this is, Great Speckled Bird means it's all the nations of the world in a bird like the Spirit of God is going to raise this great speckled bird up into the kingdom of heaven, because there's all different types of colors of skin that would be going into heaven. It's a great speckled bird, all right?
What a beautiful thought I am thinking, concerning the great speckled bird. Remember, her name is recorded on the pages of God's holy word. Desiring to lower her standard, they watch every move that she makes. They love to find fault with her teaching, but really they find no mistake. I am glad that I learned of her meekness. I am glad that my name is on her book. For I want to be one, never fearing, on the face of our Savior to look. When he cometh, descend descending from heaven on a cloud as he rides in his book. I'll be joyfully carried up to meet him on the wings of that great speckled bird. On the wings of that great speckled bird.
Praise the Lord. There's no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh or not after sin in any way. But those that walk after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so there's no condemnation. We're not condemned to hell so long as we keep the new covenant. In other words, all the different things that the Lord tells us to do. Well, that's why we read the New Testament, so we can learn what the Lord, how we can please the Lord. If we break the new covenant, we're back under the law, and the law doesn't save anyone, it condemns. And so what that means is after we accept the Lord and we just say, Lord, we're going to keep the law from now on, we're going to not be a violator of the law so that we're not condemned, we're going to walk in the spirit of life. The spirit, the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so that we're not condemned to hell by the law. So the Lord said that he didn't come to do away with the law. He came here to fulfill it. And he didn't come to bring peace either, President Bush and all you phonies out there. You say you're going to bring about peace when the Lord says he didn't come to bring peace and that there will be no peace until he comes back into your heart. Then there'll be peace for you, but not anybody else, amen, except those that are in the body of Christ. So if you want to have peace, then you let the Lord enter you, and then you go, you die out to whatever you're doing now, and deny yourself, and take up the cross and follow the Lord. Take up your cross. Now, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is especially for the establishing of a covenant. In other words, the promise, the deal that God makes with each and every person in this world. You come unto me and I'll give you eternal life. That's the promise. Oh, and you don't believe the Lord? Well, then you don't get eternal life. And you'll find out sooner than you think that you don't have eternal life. You don't keep the covenant. The covenant is written in the blood of Jesus. Now, the blood of Jesus is especially for the establishing of the contract. A lot of people, what's that blood of Jesus? Yes, the blood of God's Son, only begotten Son. Now, your and my blood is worthless with the exception of that the blood carries life to the rest of our bodies. And the life is in the blood. And that's why the Lord says we're not supposed to eat blood rare steaks or anything that has blood in it. That's why the Jews drained the blood, because the people knew that if they drank the blood, they'd be drinking condemnation or eating condemnation unto themselves. But we are permitted to eat the blood of Jesus by faith. A covenant is a contract, or God is a Jew. He's the God of the Jews. The Bible says that. God's Word says that. Christ says that. He's the Word of God. So he's a God of that makes a deal with you, a contract. The contract, the comforter in you to where you can keep the commandments. So you say, I can't keep any commandments. That's true, you can't. But when the comforter or Christ, the one that makes the contract with you, or the deal with you, or makes this covenant with you, he's in you to where you are now able to keep the commandments. And therefore you have eternal life. which is life forevermore. He establishes life in you with his blood under, and he's written it in the contract and signed it in his blood under the new covenant. It's not only necessary for God to keep the covenant, he keeps his deal, the covenant, the contract, but you and I must keep the covenant, the contract, the deal as well. If we break the covenant, to break the contract with God, what happens if you break a contract? You make a contract with somebody, and they can take you into the legal system, but much worse with the Lord. He says, you break a contract with the Lord, and what happens? We die. And the law comes upon us again to condemn us into hell. Unless we did it ignorantly. I know if you sin ignorantly, we have an advocate with the Father through Christ Jesus. He's our attorney. These are things that we need to understand. And so I may be going into this just a little bit later in this program. But we have some letters now. You want to go? Where's the first one from?
From Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, let's hear what they have to say.
I have not heard you on the radio or television, but I came to know about your ministry through a friend who attends my church. I was given a piece of your literature entitled Difficult Mountain. After I finished reading it, it was then that I was filled with the Spirit. It was through that I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. Before now, I was just a bench warmer in the church, but today I am for Jesus who died for us so that we might be saved.
Difficult Mountain, I thought you said it was my testimony track. No? Oh, you mean I made a mistake? I guess I did. Okay, then what?
Pastor, I am begging you to please send me a Holy Bible. I don't have one for now. Thank you for everything. May God bless you. Signed, Brother Gerard from Benin, Edo State, Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, sure. Make sure that, we make sure that everyone that writes in for Bibles or literature or audio tapes or CDs, I have here well over thousands of them, but the series that I'm doing now is 478 of them. We've got that many that we could send you if you want them. Okay, but you have to make sure that you're going to not use them at the skeet shoot, or that you're going to use them for, what are they, those frisbees. All right, I want you to listen to them for your own soul's sake, all right?
Amen.
Okay, then what, you got another one?
Yes, from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
Our dearly beloved spiritual brother and leader, Pastor Tony Lamo, greetings and salutations from the Brethren of the Tony Lamo Ministries of India. I was joyous and grateful when I laid hands on some of your literature, including the Messiah Book and the Holy Bibles. Prayerfully, my Christian brothers and I are distributing the true plan of salvation to those who know English, and we are also trying to translate this unique literature into our mother tongue for those who live in the villages and don't know English. A great number of people, such as bus and auto drivers, high school, medical, and engineering students, and many other people in our city have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior through your literature. Please send me more literature and Holy Bibles. Signed, Pastor V. Rao from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Oh, praise the Lord. So many pastors are receiving, you know, they may not, a lot of pastors, you know, they're to take care of the church, and they're not necessarily preachers or teachers, but what they do is they get messages that are known for winning souls, and they could, these people, these pastors are having their flock distribute them throughout the entire area where they are, and the world is being saved quickly now because of this literature. Was that it?
Yes.
Okay, you have several other letters, don't you?
Amen.
How many?
Hundreds.
Sure. Okay, so we won't read any more of those today. But, you know, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's 2 Corinthians 11:14. Get it, because there's more that I wanted to read of this. 11:14, now read 11:15.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers
also... So it's no great thing that Satan's ministers, what?
Also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness.
Yes. Okay, so the ministers today that are ministers of Satan, and they say they're God's righteousness and all this, they're stating that if a person, a person's wife, a man's wife, commits adultery or what they sometimes call fornication, that you're supposed to forgive her because that's love. Let me tell you something that the Bible says, that love is the keeping of God's commandments, not forgiving sinners, because the Bible also says that only God can forgive sins. Amen.
Amen.
And so what does the Bible say? Jesus says to put the adulteress out. He hates divorce. And I've heard just recently more and more people preaching this stuff. You let that happen in your church, pastors or ministers, whoever you are, and your whole church will become corrupt, because these adulteresses will think that if they can do that, that they'll commit adultery with everybody in your whole church. And you won't have a church anymore, because God won't bless you, and you won't receive any more blessings from the Lord, like funds to keep the church going. Now let's read from Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, regarding divorce, so that we can hear what Jesus, the Spirit, God, it's actually God in Jesus telling us about divorce.
It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, except for the cause of fornication...
Except if she fornicates, or she's flirting with people and lusting after men with her eyes, unless she's committing adultery on you. No, he doesn't. He wants you to put them out of the church then. But what about love? Again, love is the keeping of God's commandments. Amen?
Amen.
And we're not supposed to forgive sin. God, even the Pharisees knew in Mark 2:7 that only God can forgive sins. Well, then Jesus, they were upbraiding Jesus for that, but Jesus was God come in the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. So he could forgive sins if they would go and sin no more. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you're a Christian and your wife is a Christian and she decides to commit fornication or adultery, and she does it, you got to put her out. Okay?
Yeah.
That's because love is the key. God says put her out. Amen?
Amen.
So that's keeping God's commandments. That's real love. Why? You put her out so that her flesh can be destroyed, that her soul might eventually become saved. Now, there's all kinds of people, you know, this kind of doctrine just keeps sweeping through the land, where even, you know, I've had people in my church come and tell me, you know, is it, what will happen if a man commits, or a woman commits adultery, or something like that? Well, you put her out. Well, but what if she asks for mercy? No, I want the whole church to receive mercy. I want that hag out of my church, all right?
Amen.
And the Lord tells me to put her out. Now read that part where the Lord says,
whosoever shall put away his wife except for the cause of fornication.
Except for the cause of fornication or adultery. You know, it's the same thing, adultery and fornication. Adultery is if she's married.
Amen.
Okay, and she is married. A married woman. Why would you divorce her if you weren't married to her? You wouldn't have to. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery.
Okay, but the Apostle Paul goes on further to say that if a woman commits adultery, and she's put out of the church, you don't want to marry an adulterous woman. But if her husband leaves her and she commits no adultery, he just leaves the church and starts bringing accusations against the church and the leader of the church, or just doesn't want to be around her anymore, that woman can remarry. That is, the Apostle Paul has said. And if you'd like for me to read those scriptures, I'll do that for you tomorrow. So make sure you get that for me and type it up. Now, only, it's okay, so Only God can forgive sin. That's Mark 2:7. Read that.
Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?
Yes. Now, the thing was, is the Pharisees, Jesus said to his disciples, listen to what those Pharisees say because they're preaching the truth, but don't do what they do because they're hypocrites. Amen?
Amen.
So they were teaching the truth, and they knew when the wise men came and wanted to know about the time of Jesus, they saw the star in the sky, and they followed it, and they said they were going to go and worship the Lord. And the Pharisees told the king, says, what about this Messiah, this king? They said, well, he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea because these Pharisees knew the Bible, okay?
Amen.
They knew the Bible, but they didn't know the Lord. And a lot of people know the Bible, and they don't know the Lord. And some people know the Lord, but they don't know the Bible that way. I know that I was saved, really saved, because of the supernatural experiences that happened to me. And I feared the Lord. I was looking for him high and low to find out what I'm supposed to do. I didn't know that the truth was in the Bible. And so, but I knew the Lord. I knew him. And then I got saved, and I really knew him then. And then I picked up a Bible, and I started reading the Beatitudes. And I knew that that was the truth, because the same spirit that came down upon me in the office, and the same spirit that came down upon me when I was being saved and he showed me visions of heaven and hell, I immediately, when I started reading the Bible, the same spirit came down, so I knew that was a sign to me that the Bible was true, that it is absolutely true. Okay? And so, only God, these Pharisees said, I can forgive sin, and it says it in the Bible some more other places. It's right to put a woman out for fornication. Put her out of the church, put her out of your home. That's 1 Corinthians 5:1-3. Then 5, and then 9-13. Go ahead and read it.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In verse 5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh.
Oh, wait a minute. Read 4 also. Come on, splurge.
Verse 4 and 5. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
So that's a kindness. And now we're not supposed to forgive them. And let a fornicator or an adulterer stay in the church. These ministers of light, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And it's no big deal for his ministers to be telling you these things, because you will contaminate your church. It's like the old saying, one bad apple in a barrel will ruin them all. Okay?
Amen.
So you got one bad apple in the church, you got a devil in there that loves to disobey God's commandments, put that dirty, filthy, rotten apple out. Amen?
Amen.
And you'll preserve the rest of them. If you don't, you're going to be accountable for destroying your entire church. Now, anybody that's preaching this stuff, and I just see most of what they call the big evangelists, which, they're transformed into angels of light. They deceive the whole world, but they haven't deceived me. The Bible says they'll actually deceive the very elect if possible. That possibility would be is if you don't really study the Bible day and night and keep your eyes on him day and night. That's what keeping the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, all of it, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. This is why I don't just come against the Vatican all the time. And the only reason I come against the Vatican is because they started it. They hit me first. Okay, they wanted to play with Papa Tony. And don't play with me because I don't play games. Mm-hmm. All right, you weasels out there. Okay, you want to start bringing up false accusations against me? I started bringing the truth out about you. All right, and look on my website, you people out there, and see. I have documented, there's a priest confessing that they committed fornication, and it shows television program that they transfer hundreds of thousands of homosexual pedophiles. They've raped little boys and girls 5 years old and up. And they say that they're above the law, that no one is to question these reprobates, but that they, through the courts, are able to just pull people in under false pretenses and take them to court. Well, they say they're the only political and supposed to be religious organization and moneyed operation that is able to just tell thumb their nose at law and order authority. And so all these hundreds of thousands of pedophiles, and people just look at them stupidly as that they just believe this, these things that they say. But no one is above God's law, all right? Even Christ kept the law because he knew that everyone was condemned to hell, and the only way to forgive them would be as if God himself came to earth as a man. And that states that in the first chapter of John. And it states it in the 14th verse. The first verse says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on to tell how that he came to the world in the flesh and laid his life down, because the law is so demanding and it's so horrible, because it sends people souls to hell, that there wasn't any other price that God would accept as an atonement for the, or for forgiveness for the souls of human beings, except that God himself would come down and die for the sins of this world, for those only that would obey his word. Now, when these phony preachers are telling that you're supposed to forgive this adultery, and you see in fornication, you see they got this stupid husband on there, and he says, well, it was hard for me, but I forgave her. You know, I just want to slap him right across the mouth, because he's saying the exact opposite of what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
And the minister is just smiling and say, oh, you're such a wonderful person. No, they aren't, because they don't have love. 1 John 5:3 states that love is keeping God's commandments. Okay, read it for me, please, out of the Biblio, the Bible, from God through his apostle.
For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
It's not grievous. You may grieve for a prostitute-type wife that you have if you put her out, if you're not a loving person. But if you love her soul, then you'll put her out on the streets so that her flesh will be destroyed, that her soul can be saved. So it's right to put a woman out for fornication. All right. Did you read verses 9 through 13?
Yeah.
Okay, read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13.
I write unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators.
Now, you're not even supposed to company with them. You put them out and don't even talk to them. shake the dirt of your feet off at them because they do not honor God's word. They fornicate. They commit adultery, and they do it with their eyes, too. They think they're real crafty that God isn't seeing them. Well, my husband doesn't see me, and so I can do it all the time. Well, but God sees you, you persons, you know. God sees you. Then what?
Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have...
Oh, unless you need to go out of the world. What, the Lord's going to put your lights out? Huh? Is that what it's saying?
Amen.
Okay, yes, so you have to go out of the world, kiddo. You don't like the way I talk? You know, so many people tell me that. The Lord told me to just be myself because he says, you know the word, you know it better than anyone, you're all that I have. And so I just talk the way I do because the Lord likes me, okay?
Amen.
And if you're a foreigner, he don't like you, all right? Does that make you jealous? Too bad. Too bad. You're not me. And thank God I'm not you. Then what?
But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without...
Now, we're supposed to judge the people in the church that are in the body of Christ. All right?
Yeah.
I don't judge people outside. The Word of God judges them. And I, the Word of God, judges those that are in the body of Christ too. Because I can take the least esteemed person in the church and hand them the Bible and say, this man committed fornication, so what you just was saved 2 days ago? Here, read the scripture, and he says, well, the Lord says, well, you got to put them out if they commit adultery, amen?
Amen.
Or fornication. And only God forgives sin. And we can't, but so we would be sinners if we didn't do what the Lord said. Amen?
Amen.
He says, put them out! Amen?
Amen?
Put them out! So it's right to put a woman out for fornication. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 3, verse 5, and verses 9 through 13. Did you finish it?
We're on verse 13.
Okay.
But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
Put away. Put them out of the church. Because those people, we've had some young girls in the church that they were just always passing notes in school and everything else, and they had their mothers and dads were here. And so I had to pull them out of school and let them homeschool them. And then when they still couldn't be controlled, I had to put the whole family out. And that's the way that the Bible is. And so in case anybody thinks that I'm a weasel for that. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. So it is right. It's absolutely a commandment to put a woman out for fornication. In the Bible, Jesus said, even if they commit adultery, it would in their eyes, they're lusting after somebody. Now, the Bible stated, because of the fact that I'm this way, what the government is able to do, they are disgruntled because I put them out on the street. And so they want to bring false accusations against me, and the Bible says that there would be those that betray the people of the Lord in the last day. They would betray one another, and that's Matthew 24:10. Go ahead and read it.
And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another.
Yeah, they're offended when I put them out. But I'm keeping the Lord's commandments, because I don't want to go to hell. Okay?
Amen.
Just because they want to commit adultery, fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality in the church, or take drugs, alcohol, or snipping glue, gas, chewing morning glory seeds, or whatever they do to get themselves drunk. So I'm supposed to put them out. And so I do, and then they... Well, they get irritated, it says. What does it say?
And then shall many be offended.
They get offended. They're offended at God's scriptures and those that keep the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
So get them out of here. That's what I say. Okay, get them out. Then what?
And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another.
Right. They hate because I love. I put them out. That's called, the Lord calls that love.
Amen.
And so what the government, the international government, which they call the U.S. government, pulled a bunch of people out of prison and fornicators and adulterers and homosexuals, and they stood up against me in the courtroom and used these people and threatened them that they'd, first of all, they said, we'll let you out of prison if you'll testify falsely, if you'll testify the way we tell you to testify against Tony Alamo. And so, of course, they have many years of serving prison, will be glad to do that. Okay? Your honor, you honorable wretches, yeah, we'll do that for you. If we can get out, and we'll give you so much of reward if you'll lie and say Tony Alamo did something wrong with the IRS, that I hid the books. Come to find out it was the district attorney that was hiding the books. And that came out later, and we have proof to that. And still, Judge McCullough in Memphis will not exonerate me and make my record clean. I did 4 years in prison, and many other people are doing the same thing, you know. But I'm glad that I went there anyway because I won a lot of souls to the Lord. People are so ignorant to the Word of God. But they do betray, I've been betrayed by many people. And so, whenever you see them saying something bad, listen, I stick right to the commandments, and people don't like it, but that's too bad. I'm not going to go to hell for anybody. All right, Sharon, you got something to read for us? And if so, where?
2 Corinthians chapter 4.
Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go ahead with it.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not.
Okay, yeah. It was the coldest kind of life when I was unsaved. I was bitter. I got, it wasn't anything to live for. There wasn't a decent woman that I knew of on the face of this earth. I was sick and tired of the flaky women out there. They all fornicators and adulterers. And women committing adultery on their husbands, and their husbands didn't know it, and they're even doing prostitution. It's just a bunch of lice out there. But of course, the Lord created them, and He wants them to be saved. So read that again.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry.
And the Lord had mercy on me because I was so bitter. And when the Spirit of God entered into me, it broke my heart. I never wept. I don't think it was after I got out of the crib. Okay, I'm not a weeper type person. But it's for sure. Read it again.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry.
So God gave us mercy. Amen.
Amen.
We're not in that cold world anymore, and God has given us a position in the body of Christ, and has given us a place in the body of Christ where we can know that we have a future, an eternal future in heaven. Okay? And so many people just said they don't even think that they've had mercy on them. And they don't, mercy, what's mercy? I'm going to commit adultery. I'm going to commit fornication. I'm going to lie about what I did and all this kind of stuff. These people are going to be so sorry on Judgment Day because they're not going before the judgment seat of Christ. They're going before the great white throne. The great white throne is the judgment bar of God. And those that go before that great white throne, they're going to hell. And then later, hell and death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. Where again, I have to keep saying it because they keep telling lies on television and in the media. They're going to be in the lake of fire. You're going to be chewing on your tongue, gnashing your teeth, grinding your teeth, and screaming yourself. Every pore in your body is going to be screaming out and fire, you're going to be on fire, and it's going to get worse as time goes on. And so you just wish you could go out of your mind, but you can't. Then what, Sharon?
As we have received mercy, we faint not.
Yeah, because we've gotten mercy, and so I can't quit. I'm not going to faint or stop doing what I do. They always say, do what you do best. Well, the thing I do best, I think, is preaching the gospel. I don't see anybody else. They're all afraid of the devil, but they're not afraid of the Lord. And these people are going to wind up in where I just told you. Then what?
But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty.
Right. And so there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and they're still lying. They're lying like a dog. Okay? They haven't renounced the things of the world because they're still worldly. Then what?
Not walking in craftiness.
But they're still walking. They think they're crafty. But I can see every move because the Lord gives me the Spirit, and I know what they're up to. I can ask the Lord, does this person, is he against me? Are they lying to me? And he just tells me yes. And they say, no, we're not. In other words, they're saying that God is lying to me, and they're telling me the truth. Okay, then what?
Nor handling the word of God deceitfully.
Yeah, they say, we're Christians, praise the Lord. You see them pick up a Bible and read it. I want to remind you that all these people that call themselves Christians are no big deal. It's no big deal that they have transformed themselves into angels of light because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That means he disguises himself as an angel of light. But I can tell, because the Lord has given me discernment as to who is really of the Lord and who's not. And, you know, they want to sin in my church, and I catch them. They got to go out because the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation tells me to measure, with the word of God, the people in the church. And those who don't measure up to God's word, throw them out. Put them out with the Gentiles. Just ask them to leave nicely, and if they don't, help them out a little bit, okay? Ready?
But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves.
Okay, manifestation of the truth, okay. So we read what the truth is in the Bible. It's manifested to us, right?
Right.
Then what?
Commending ourselves to every man's conscience.
Okay, so the way that we commend ourselves to every man's conscience is not what we say or what we preach. It's that we go through trials and tribulations. And we still, even though we're knocked down, we still stand up. When people are saying evil things about us, we continue on. Okay, so that people can see the suffering of Christ in us. And that speaks a whole lot more than these false Christians, these angels of Satan, that are saying things that are false. It's not what we say, it's what we do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
That's what commends ourselves to every man's conscience, is because when they see them take everything away from us like they did about 15 years ago, and then I just put a sign in the window of the Alamo of Nashville, and I just said, God gave, and God took away. He let the devil take it away just to test me out to see if I would continue. I says, blessed be the name of the Lord. There isn't anything that can happen to me that's going to cause me to fall away from the Lord. All right? I've been put through the test. God took the most godly woman in the entire world away from me, and I went right on. I had to pray to God to get to what she had and to learn how to write, to give me the spirit of writing, and then he gave it to me right away. I wrote my first track that day, called Guilty by Association. You're guilty if you associate with these devils. You're guilty by association if you're sponsoring them, if you're paying money to keep them on the air. And a person wrote in yesterday or the day before saying, if I see discrepancies in the church, should I stay there or leave? I told him, leave. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't support a church like that. It's not a church, it's a cult. All right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
Yeah, so if you don't endure hardness like a good soldier so that people can see Christ living in you, then the gospel or the Christ living in you is hidden. They don't see the suffering of Christ in you. Like if I went to prison, if I would have started crying and kicking up, you know, the storm, and oh God, curling up into a fetal ball, like one of the quote Christians did, the people wouldn't have admired me or listened to anything I said. But I had a smile on my face when I went in there, and I praised the Lord, and I fellowshiped with people that wanted to fellowship with me, and there was a lot of them, and I won their souls to the Lord. And so, because they could see Christ living in me. One wrote a letter the other day we read on the air. He says, I could see you serving the Lord every minute that you were there in prison. You were reading the Bible, and you were preaching, and you were helping people, people that didn't have money. And you'd give them little jobs like reading the Bible to you because you can't see. And they would read, and you'd send them some money so that they could have hygiene and some apples and oranges and things like that. And if they wanted candy or whatever, I didn't tell them what to spend it on. Then what?
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not.
Yes, and that's why if you just preach, that isn't any good at all. Because Satan has blinded the minds of people so much with these false prophets and these false teachers. Because they don't see them paying the price. They don't see them denying themselves. They don't see themselves carrying the cross. You've got guys saying, I need $1 million, $10 million to buy a new airplane. I mean, I'm one of Christ's kids. That isn't Christianity, folks. They don't see any suffering in him. He said, I don't suffer. I don't deny myself. I don't take up the cross. I got a life of leisure. Look at my big mansion here, and he shows all these automobiles and planes, airplanes, and all this stuff. Well, you know, I don't begrudge them, but if they preach the truth, and if you could see, and not only preach the truth, but live the truth, there's no persecution to them, because the devil loves to see those kind of preachers out there. Because there's no evidence of Christ living in them. Okay, anyone can preach. You can teach a parrot how to preach the Bible. Satan himself, though, is transformed into a minister of God, an angel of light. And he tells how much money he's got. And you give money to him instead of serving the Lord and going out and winning souls and being put into jail, thrown into prison. I've been put in and out of jail so many times, it's unbelievable, for just passing out little gospel tracts on the street. And I've also been threatened and to be killed and murdered, everything for preaching the gospel. They don't have that kind of a testimony. And if they do, well, then there's evidence there that they serve the Lord. And they don't feed, clothe, and house people or build homes for them and all the other things for people that really love the Lord. They don't send money to people. I just saw many people sending envelopes, you know, asking for money to poverty-stricken people in prison. And I didn't. I gave money to them. And it isn't, you know, I don't want my blessings to be taken away from me, but that's what the Lord tells you to do. He breaks the bread and the fishes and gives the bread and fishes to the congregate, to his disciples, and they gave it to the multitude. And then the increase came back to 7 big baskets full of the overflow. Amen?
Amen.
They fed thousands of people. Okay, what else?
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not.
Right, they blind them. The devil has blinded the minds of this world with these false teachers and preachers and phonies so much because nobody really sees the evidence of Christ's sufferings in them. And therefore, talk is cheap. Everybody can talk. Talk, talk, talk like a parrot. I can preach a good gospel, but what good would it be if they took everything away from me and I committed suicide or something like that? Wouldn't show any sufferings of Christ. Okay, we had to start all over again. They kicked everybody out on the street. But now we've got better facilities than ever before because I went through the fire. Amen?
Amen.
The fuego. Praise the Lord, and I'm glad I did. Okay, go ahead.
Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Yeah. So if you don't follow the Lord, if you don't go through the sufferings, if you like to live in luxury and just lay around all day long and just get up, now and then, the glorious light of Christ that's supposed to be shining from you is not evident to those that are blinded in this world by Satan. Then what?
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not
Lord.
Preaching myself, man. I'm preaching God living in you and in me, all right?
Amen.
I'm not preaching me at all. I say I haven't won a soul in my life. It's the Lord through me that's won every soul. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake.
Yeah, we're your servants for Jesus' sake. We serve you and we preach the gospel and teach it to you. But it's more, you've seen, the people in my church and the people in the world have seen the sufferings of Christ in me, and I'm not complaining about it because it's glorious. Then what?
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Right. And so, if we do what Jesus did, just take whatever comes and goes. He never answered. You answer people, but you have to take the suffering along with it and stay steadfast. Okay, then what?
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Yeah, we're made out of the earth, and this kingdom of heaven is in this earthen vessel of mine and yours if you're saved. Then what?
That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Right. Okay, then what?
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
Right, I'm not distressed. Then what?
We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken.
The Lord doesn't forsake us. Okay, then what? If we're keeping the commandments, then what?
Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus.
Right. If you don't bear about the dying of the Lord Jesus, it's like you're just yapping with your mouth. You know, everybody can do that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, now the way to start having the power of God in you in order to be able to continue on being a light unto the people that are blind in this world, I begin by saying this prayer to the Lord, and He'll put the power in you to be able to live, to let Him live out His life in you, and you'll be able to be strong then, only by His strength. Father, I say this prayer to the Lord. Father, I believe, have mercy on my soul. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God, that You, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Because Your word, You cannot lie. It's impossible for You to lie. You said, I believe You. You've heard me, and You've saved my soul, and therefore I thank You for it, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank You for saving my soul. Praise the Lord. Now, Sharon, tell them, Radio Land, how they can receive a copy of program number 478 and as many other programs as they like, free of charge. Please specify whether you want a CD or audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another powerful, life-giving, eternal life-giving message for you. And here's the J.D. Sumner and the Stamps, along with myself, to sing How Long Has It Been?
since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secret. How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? And you called him your friend. How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven?
How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you alone, my heart through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the days were the living?
Can you call your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
Can you call him your friend? How long has it been
since you knew that he cared?